You're listening to Unplugged Radio,
a podcast in which a trio of longtime friends and gamers talk about media, role-playing, hobbying,
and sometimes even Kings of War.
We could keep talking over this intro song,
but John spent 30 whole minutes composing and recording it, so
instead, kick back and enjoy some sweet, sweet metal.
Works. There we go. All right. And we're all in. Yes, we're all in. We have begun recording. We have joined the recording.
Excellent. Yep.
All right. Greg, you want to start?
Sure.
Want me to start?
Okay, Let's do it.
Count it in.
Everybody ready?
Ready.
Got my Dr. Pepper from here.
We're going live in 3, 2, 1. Good evening. And welcome, everybody, to another fantastic episode of Unplugged Radio. I'm your host, Greg.
I'm another host, Mike.
And we've got two special guests with us this evening. We've got Corey Reynolds.
Hey, everybody.
And Mr. K2 himself.
How are we doing?
What's up, Skullface? Yeah, man. We had a plan for this evening, and then we had some last-minute changes. So instead of doing what we're going to do, we're going to talk tonight about the upcoming Orktown GT with K2. And really just kind of try to get a feel for the event. If you haven't been, what's wrong with you? Right? Mm-hmm. Get to Cape Cod. Go do it. Yep. It's, in my opinion, one of the most fun events I've ever been to. And the nice thing is it happens every year. Right?
It does.
Yeah. Pretty great.
Yeah.
Right. So, how long have you been running the event? How long have you been running Orktown?
I've run Orktown for four runnings now. So this will be the fourth, I think, because this is Orktown 6.
Yep.
So Josh, Rosado ran the first two, and you know, myself and my accomplices, Doug Blake and Joe Taylor. I guess you could say, like, we've worked on the like all the Orc towns, you know, us three, trophies wise. And we did, you know, a ton of that in the first year was you know, just like Joe single-handedly made the trophies somehow, which was insane. That was Orktown 1. And then Orktown 2. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but like trophies are a big deal at Orktown. Or at least
absolutely.
I like, think they are. Yeah.
They sure are.
So you have a very good chance of winning a trophy if you come to Orktown GT, I think, as opposed, you know, usually it's first, second, third, three different categories usually. I think we added an erroneous category, and then sometimes we give out a fourth place award, which I think we'll do probably again. We've done that the last several Orc towns, but yeah, we've got, you know, paint, sports, overall, highest attrition. Highest attrition is its own separate award called the Nuke Award, and Nuke is stands for the Northeast War Kings. So that's our club. And we started as the Cape Cod War Kings, and we started to conquer all this territory. We eventually became the New England War Kings. And then some of these New Yorkers that can, you know, were part of the club were like, you know, hey, can you not be New England? And we said, okay, sure, it's Northeast now. So
expanding at an alarming rate.
Yeah, I mean, but we've also
the rest of the country should be on notice.
But once we got to, you know, far out, then we sort of all like kind of petered out, and then the club really just all became, you know, putting on Orktown every year, and less about conquest, which is fine. you know, because
worthy, worthy endeavor, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So we just really like after, you know, really the dead of winter GT, right? That's like when we get to come out of our cave, right? And then as soon as that's done and over, and we're back on Cape Cod, you know, we get to work. So
right.
we're currently working on Orktown, and it's a couple of months away, a little more than 2 months away, I think. It's May 31st and June 1 is Orktown this year, so it's a little earlier than normal.
And where can people go if they are interested in finding out more or registering before we go any further?
So we have a Facebook group page, right? That is the I think if you type in Nuke, it's the Northeast War Kings. You should find it there, and you'll see a picture maybe of strange orcish trophies or whatever. That's definitely us. And if you want to, you know, just sort of bypass that, you should definitely join that Facebook group page. It's not really so happening right now because, you know, Facebook is sort of, I don't know. I don't know what's changed. If I've changed or Facebook's changed, but, you know, it's good to join that group just to be made aware, kept abreast of things. But if you email Skullface or Orkling, whichever, at wkofcapecod@gmail.com, as in workingsofcapecod@gmail.com, you will get either Skullface or Orkling to reply and give you details on the Orktown GT.
Awesome. So, yep.
And depending on who you email, the information will be the same, but the delivery will be very different.
Yeah, sometimes Orkling replies, and sometimes you get Skullface, and you get a message back in all caps. It's just
any exclamation points.
Yeah, there's the Orktown Manual of Style, and if the great leader is writing, it's all caps. And if you write his name, it's got to be all caps. So,
noted.
Yep.
So, I know that this is the sixth Orktown. Every one of them has been really awesome. If you had to describe the vibe of your event, how would you describe it?
I think we like to think that we're very that like hospitality is kind of like yes, we are orc themed, right? But you know, contrary to what you've heard, Orktown is a very civilized place, and so we realize that you are coming a far distance, and you're going to be trapped at the Cape Cod Curling Club, which is where Orktown is held these days. So we want to like feed you, give you free coffee. We've got a whole bar, and we really want to like make sure that people are having fun. You know, as much of that weekend as we possibly can. So, you know, we do have, this awesome venue, which has its own kind of vibe. Before we the first two Orktowns were held in a really disgusting dive bar, which had its own vibe. And, but you know, your shoes stuck to the floor. Nobody had cleaned the bathrooms, since August 31st of the previous year. So,
yeah, actually, if you dropped any of your miniatures on the floor during the first two Orktowns, you abandoned them. You did not pick them back up.
Right. Not only do
hundreds of hours of painting doesn't matter. You're leaving it there.
They weren't going to bounce, because the floor was sticky.
Oh, goodness.
Very dark, very dark there. So now we have this like plush club because my sister is like a nationally ranked curler, right? The sport curling. and she's been curling since she was like 6 years old. And randomly in Falmouth, Massachusetts on Cape Cod, we've had a curling club since 1969. And actually my sister, I think, come by the time Orktown 6 happens, will be president of the Cape Cod Curling Club. So we've got a very big in at that venue. They've got a full commercial kitchen. We take advantage of that.
I have a question. If we weren't using the space on that weekend, would it be in normal operation?
No. Yeah, probably okay. not. Probably not. I do reserve it every year and make sure that, you know, they they get their money, right? Which they're undercharging. Like I know when you start a GT or a T, you know, you're trying to find a venue that is going to not charge you like an arm and a leg. And sometimes they want to kick you up after 3 hours. And, I was talking to the Elks Lodge, the Rotary Club, and actually the Holiday Inn, we almost had Orktown 3 at this Falmouth Holiday Inn, because we just had to book so many hotel rooms, and then they let us have this like dingy basement. Right. But with the curling club, yes, Greg, you're right. They would not be doing anything at that time because the curling season is from Halloween. Basically it kicks off until, probably the end of April. They mm-hmm. take the ice out, mm-hmm. but then, there is a window there, and they make a lot of their money, actually running a summer tournament at the curling club. So they put the ice back in for the curlers for this, like, you know, for about 3 weeks or so, and they have a big summer tournament, and people travel from like all over to the Cape to curl, you know, at the curling club in the summer. Now, so it's sort of a strategic timing. We do the weekend after Memorial Day is kind of what we've carved out for Orktown. And that means so anything that's seasonal on Cape Cod will be open, but it won't be, crazy crowded yet, because it's a weekend after Memorial Day. So everything opens up for Memorial Day, and then everybody is like busy, 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 busy getting their stuff open. Ice cream is being served. The fried fish and the lobsters are here, and everything's going. But then, boom, everybody disappears. All these places are open up, but they're not crowded yet, because and you can still get lodging for without, you know, having to sell a kidney. The club is empty. Everything in town is pretty much open. And the only caveat or the only bummer I'll say is that the water isn't quite warm enough to swim.
Oh, no, it's definitely not swimmable.
Unless you want to get pneumonia. But my record for swimming in Cape Cod is actually mid-April, and I got very sick.
Brr.
I got very sick afterwards.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like 12 and stupid, but yeah. but you know, we're like a 30, like Falmouth, the town of Falmouth that Orktown's held at on Cape Cod. We're like, it's about 15 minutes from the bridge. We say colloquially, so there's the Bourne Bridge and the Sagamore Bridge, because all of Cape Cod is separated by the canal. So we're kind of an island. We're kind of a big man-made island, but Falmouth is like, you know, the second town. Once you reach Cape Cod, we're only the second town in, because you could drive to Provincetown on Cape Cod and you'd spend another hour and a half in the car. Once you finally get here, so once you get here, it's not too much further, and then you know, we also have the Steamship Authority here. So if you want to go to Martha's Vineyard or something like that and take a nice ferry ride, that's in Falmouth too. So yeah, you can't go swimming, but there's other things you could do. Or if you come with your family, you know, there's stuff for them to do. You could do whale watches, go on the ferry ride, go down to Provincetown, go to the Nantucket Whaling Museum if you're adventurous. So there's a lot of things that, you know, your family can do, or your spouse or whatever, while you're playing in the Orrktown Grand Tournament.
It's yeah. It's
my
it's...
my wife comes along every year, and she just yeah. hangs out for the weekend. And
yeah,
she loves it.
Yeah,
it's a
yeah.
great trip.
You there is, you know, you can't do it wrong. So whatever you want to do, it's. I'd say it's a pretty place, you know, so it's something different. But you know, all the work that we're doing now for Orrktown is, you know, mostly planning and starting to create all the trophies. And I think we make about 14 or 15 trophies, usually completely, you know, by hand. You know, some, everything's custom. And, anyway, so, and every year, like, you know, with only a couple of exceptions, like, the first place, sportsmanship award gets this, this huge bust of Skullface, that we like to call, like, it's sort of akin to the Heisman Trophy. And, so that's kind of the same every year, although the plinth that the bust goes on gets bigger and taller every year. But everything else is pretty custom. Corey Reynolds has won several of our crazy ass trophies. So
yeah, dude.
Yeah,
they are sitting appropriately on my wall in a place of prominence right now.
So do you want to describe them, Corey? I mean, in all their glory.
Yeah, because right. I think if people are listening to this and they haven't seen the photos or been, and the word trophy is a little misleading.
It's definitely underselling it, right?
Yes, yes.
So the first trophy I've got is a guitar. It's a real electric guitar that has been hand-painted, and not just like sloppily, like it is gorgeously hand painted in Orrktown colors, MACGA written across the front, and it actually works. So
yeah, it might not work that well, but
no, yeah. No, it plays appropriately tuned music for Orrktown.
Yeah, for sure.
So that was the first award that I got. The second one is a Orrk real life size chapa. That is as tall as I am, a blade that goes from my waist to the top of my head, carved out of wood. It's amazing.
Pretty heavy.
It's not as heavy as you would think, but it is pretty heavy. My nephew loves to come over, and first thing he does is runs downstairs to my game room and starts swinging that thing around.
So right now, the first place, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's a little sketch that Joe Taylor made on my work table. So it's almost ritualistic at this point, right? So, you know, the calendar turns to March, and my garage, you know, we sort of like an Amish barn raising. You know, we go and we like clear the decks and we take this construction paper out. We put it over the game tables and we fold up the mats and we start inventorying all our supplies and whatever. So we've got this like construction paper on my 4x6, you know, Kings of War table. And he just sketched out, you know, and, you know, a little doodle. And it's a good doodle. And because Joe is very talented, and it's like, yep, that's our first place trophy right there. So it starts with like a little doodle on the side of the table, and it turns mm-hmm. into like a 6.5 foot choppa. So
it's amazing.
Last year, we made a a whole, we call it Mundrul, like, it's part of our lore. Think Mongolian, like Genghis Khan and cavalry riders like that. So, but goblins. So the Mundrul Empire, and we have a whole, Mundrulian cavalryman's like headdress and we made that. It's got like horse jaws and like horns, of course, leather, fur, like a tower on top at the crown of it that goes to another skull with hair and tassels. And that was last year. The electric guitar we called the Axe of Orktown. And then you actually got the Axe of Orktown. So we've kind of played out the axe theme. And
I got a trophy from the inaugural year of Orktown. Yeah. And it was the appearance award, and it's awesome. If you're familiar, or even if you're not, Google it. The miniature Wurzag, the Savage Ork Shaman, is an old Games Workshop mini. It's basically the mask that he's wearing. It's like a wooden mask with tribal designs etched into it and like feathers and other paraphernalia. And it is, you know, on a stick, so you can hold it, and it is probably like 1.5 times the size of a human face. So it perfectly will cover you up, and, you know, there's all sorts of applications.
One of my favorites is one that Corey Wallizer won. It's this little music box.
The music small box.
small worldish thing that you crank, and little goblins pop up and down in this little village scene. It is absolutely a riot.
Yeah.
When you go to his apartment, when you walk in, right when you open the door, it's sitting right there, waiting for you to crank it. Right.
That makes amazing. That makes me happy. Yeah.
Right.
It's always kind of bittersweet. You know, you like work on these trophies for a good solid like 2 months, you know, sometimes longer. Sometimes they happen quickly. Sometimes they really take time. And usually I'll say, like, any given Orktown, there's like 4 or 5 trophies that like people spend like multiple weeks, you know, just sort of, I don't know, either staring at and trying to figure out what the hell this is, you know, to make into something, or just theorizing what it could be. I mean, it's a very organic process. Every year we kind of sketch out like what trophies, you know, we list the categories usually, and we kind of come up, we just start brainstorming ideas on like what, you know, that the trophy this year we could do. And sometimes they're holdovers from last year, or like, hey, we finally got, you know, something that would work for this idea that we had 3 years ago or whatever. So,
right.
Yeah, we try to, you know, but at the end of the year versus that initial list, excuse me, at the end of trophy season, we call it, you know, when Orktown finally happens versus that initial list, sometimes it bears no resemblance, but it's gone off without a hitch. So far.
It's awesome. Yeah. So and how many people do you normally have at the event?
So
it's not a pretty huge intimate.
Tournament. Yeah. It's not a huge tournament. And I don't think that we can, I think, you know, as great as the curling club is, we are like, we only use their, what they call their warm room. So WARM, as opposed to war, right? So it's their warm room, because the curling ice itself, this might change, right? But for now, like, even though the ice is out and it's this blank space, it's about the size of like a county flea market out there. They don't want us out in the ice shed, is what they call it. But that's fine, because, like, you know, a curling club is kind of like, was kind of like a bar or like a VFW, with like this, you know, this kind of hobby sport, you know, attached to it. So
it definitely has that vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. So they do have a big bar and they do have a big kitchen because they you can be like a social member of the curling club, which actually I became a social member this year so that, you know, to just kind of wave the flag, you know, because they I'm becoming notorious within the curling club as the president's crazy brother that runs this, you know, insane game tournament. So it's pretty funny. Like sometimes we'll have like these people that are members of the curling club and they'll like wander in and maybe they've heard about it and they're here to check it out. And maybe they haven't. And they're like totally, totally stunned about what the hell is going on. Because we've also got like a lot of decorative items as well. So, you know, we've got like a giant portrait of Skullface as you come in and different characters that we've created. Like I now in my house, have like, I think four, you know, life-size goblins. Because they're kind of decorative and they're kind of characters and mascots of the event.
Right.
All kinds of stuff like that. So, yeah, anyway, so it's like it's a whole thing. It's so much fun. It's like you know, like any GT, it's like it is a lot of work, but like when it's finally that weekend and it's finally happening, like I don't know, like it's hard to beat, you know, the feeling. It's really rewarding.
It's from a player perspective, it is one of the most laid back tournaments I've been to, but still everyone is playing hard and trying to win. But there's no like there's hardly any rules questions. Like everybody's super cool. It's just the vibe is really I think everyone's just happy to be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's sort of I don't know. Yeah, like we want it to be fun, and I don't want you to be there like, you know, stressing out that you know you're gonna get murdered, and you gotta really, you know, kill every opponent, you know, super hard. I do want plenty of death on that score sheet, right? And I don't want to see draws, and I don't want to see like, oh well, you know we needed this many points not to drop any ranks or whatever. There's so many trophies and awards that, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, it's like if you're not in the top three, like there's still all kinds of crazy stuff that you could win. And sometimes like the, I don't know, we've got these awards too, like Countercharger, right? Of course, like Countercharger. But then we also have like the middle of the top half and the middle
Skulk.
Of the bottom half.
The middle Slasher and Orkling Tried.
And these are really just awards that, you know, we wish were maybe at GTs that we go to, because we're never in the top three and you know, like hitting that Countercharger is not so easy. So anyway, so it's sort of it kind of increases your odds of the crapshoot of winning that award. You know, and that, so anyways, but yeah, like I really don't want to see like, anybody stressed out or freaked out or, you know, because, sportsmanship, I think is obviously important. And, that's why the Skullface Award is the top one is sportsmanship, you could say, I guess, but, you know, if you're that kind of player and like, you know, I don't know, maybe don't come to Orktown, you know, but, but if you like to have fun and you want to, you know, just hang out and kind of enjoy the vibes of being in this sort of, you know, quasi, country club feel that's Ork themed, you know, it's definitely, the weekend to, you know, it's definitely the tournament to go to.
Yeah,
it
and
is
I think
the most low-key event where it's just everybody's there with the same mental attitude, just to hang out, relax, and have a good time.
And correct me if I'm wrong, K2, but I think all the souls sacrificed upon the fields of battle that weekend, they are delivered directly to Skullface's own private corner of hell.
Yeah.
And so he accepts all offerings, and you should be, you know, honored to, even if you get routed, you know, you end up with a goose egg for your game. Like, right. You still did something great.
I like to think that this is all just a racket to collect, you know, whatever life force keeps Skullface going. You know, it's unclear. Yeah. You know, maybe it's souls, right? Maybe it's whatever. But, you know, Skullface has got this own, you know, preposterous lore, or very real. I don't know. Yeah, I like to think that this is his big racket to get everybody in one place. And, you know, maybe this just keeps, you know, the Orktonians happy, you know, kind of bread and circus type, you know, but, obviously we take like immense pride in putting this on and having it be, you know, fun for everybody. And, you know, it's been, I don't know, it's been like the highlight of my year for sure, you know, to put this on. And,
right.
And obviously, we've got a lot of people that just like immediately, say, yep, I'm coming again, you know? And I do kind of do like an invite. I try to invite everybody that came to last year's, or maybe some Orktown's past. I extend the invite first there before I kind of, you know, put a notice out on Fanatics or other pages or whatever.
I did enjoy the personalized invitation, K2. That's a classy great touch.
It's pretty good.
So
I have to ask, when you're running the event, right? And it's all this prep, right? You, Doug, and Joe just pour your soul into the trophies and get everything ready, and then, like, meanwhile, like, people start arriving, right? So normally Corey and I will show up, right? We'll show up on Thursday. We make an extended weekend out of it, right? We'll show up to the Airbnb and we hang out, and then, you know, you spend some time in the Cape and then roll into to the curling club. And what is the feeling like with all the prep, and then it's go time, right? Yeah. And you see people rolling in on Friday and hanging out on Saturday. What is that like for you, Joe and Doug?
Honestly, you know, and it's like, you know, it's me, Doug, Joe, and then like my brother-in-law Levi, and like my sister, and
yeah, they're great. And Candace,
yep. Right?
Yep.
So we've got like, we do have this, you know, really good team of like people that party, you know, but also, like I said, you know, we're very much honor bound to make sure that this fucking rocks, right? So, anyways, once it happens, I really feel like it. We say, okay, you know, game one, everybody go. You know, I just don't even at that point, I am like zero worries. Like it's everything is done. Like. Like usually I'm thinking about maybe like lunch, like getting lunch ready, you know, make sure I wake up early to pick up the fresh bagels, get the smoked salmon ready. Like I'm worried about the food maybe,
right,
but like,
right.
But I'm not worried about is like, you know,
the games,
yeah, the games at all. Right. At all. You know, my brother-in-law's luckily, you know, thankfully he's got, you know, this you know, awesome brain. So he's got this whole spreadsheet or whatever. I kind of told him like what I want, which is just like a simple scorecard and like, you know, win loss and like how many points is your attrition or whatever. And we've kind of figured it out from there. And it's small enough that it's not too complicated in that regard too. Like if this were a 64 player masters event with the best of the rest, you know, another 100, you know, people or whatever, like, you know, that inputting that would be really hard. And I think that's, you know, that's where like the iPhone, or excuse me, the kind of web-based stuff I think is really like, you know, that's the way, right? That's the way it should do it. But
right, right.
But to me, like at Orktown, I don't really want to incorporate that because I don't want you to be on your phone. You know, like I don't want you to be on your phone so much. I want you to be like, you know, going to the bar, making yourself a coffee, chatting, schmoozing, you know, looking at you know, the crazy like Godzilla movies going on in the background and just like enjoying the vibe. And I want you on your phone. So like I've kind of thought about that. So I don't know. I've thought about we've kind of thought about like every little thing, or we like to think we have. And sometimes, you know, we think about the things that we didn't get right last year and the year before that also. You know, when it's finally going, like I'm not worried about the games. I'm making food or something for everybody and making sure that the Godzilla movie is like, you know, still on. So
the video console is still rolling.
Yeah. Yeah. I always try to bring like something ridiculous to, you know, video game wise.
Was it Golden Axe last year?
Yeah. So I set up, I think it was Golden Axe.
That got a lot of play. Yeah,
I got a lot of obscure old video games from the early 90s usually, and I try to bring the most ridiculous big ass television I can, and we've got like a little break room lounge area, I'll set something up there for people to play on. So we had Golden Axe on the TurboGrafx-16 with a 25-inch NEC color television from 1991. You know, so everything, actually I think it was like 1990 that television was from. Anyway, so everything was like period correct, you know. This would be like the setup if you were playing TurboGrafx and you were like, you know, a really cool kid. So I tried to set that up in the anyways, a lot of thought goes into it. Too much.
It really is. I mean, to your point, it really is this wonderful analog 1988 feel, right? Yeah. That I just really appreciate when I'm hanging out there too. Because I think if your point is to get us all like hanging out and talking, the venue is perfect. And then just every once in a while, it's here, have some Orkdo cooler. And I'm like, what is in this? And you're like, it's green. Shut up.
Yeah,
okay. Right. Yeah, don't worry about it. What are you asking questions for? Just drink it. Right. And it's everybody near the end of the night is really having a good time and is just chilling. And then on Saturday, it's you all go out to dinner together. And then we all, you know, for the most part, we'll crash over at your place. Yeah. Right. Which is also amazing. Right.
So I try to, if anybody wants, I mean, and I totally get like crashing out too, because I've done that, you know, at GTs where it's just like, you're like, yeah, I'll come right back and I'll play, you know, that board game with you and then dead on the couch or whatever, but or in the hotel room. But so we try to have like a cocktail hour after round three, and try to get everybody to, you know, look around, look at everybody's army, because paint score, you know, this is maybe controversial or whatever, but we just do player's choice, because I don't know. Like, I'm not a paint judge. Like, I'm an okay painter. And I'll never forget. And this is like, something to think about for anybody that's thinking they're going to start a GT or whatever, which I encourage you to do. Cause like I said, so much fun. So this is like after Orktown 1 or 2. And we had all these Canadians, right? Which, I mean, back then, that was a big deal, right? I mean, now Canadians, they're freaking everywhere, right? They come to all the GTs and, like, you
win anyway. Stuff and leave.
Yeah, seriously. They beat your faces, like, oh, wow, like, you play orcs? I play, you know, fish dudes, and, you know, your dream ends now. Anyway, so just flashing back wrong. I try to
The Ben Tersh, he'll do that.
Trident Realms suck. I'm sorry. I mean, not to change the subject, but just a quick tangent. like that army, and Ben's a great guy, and I didn't realize that like I had beat him up so badly at a crossroads a couple years ago, right? that he like remembered me and everything about my army, and he was there to kill me, right? And to me, you know, my victory over his elves at Crossroads like 3 years ago was Tuesday, right? Like it was just like whatever, you know. but his Trident Realms just like absolutely obliterated me. I had no chance. I felt like I was playing against a Magic player that played with blue. You know what I mean? Trident Realms is blue, and I was just like, wow. Anyways, but Ben's a great guy. His army is not fun. Anyway, so going back to, I totally forgot what I was talking about. No idea.
Going back to your place.
Oh yeah. So I have,
and paint judging because it's judging. Controversial.
Paint
right,
judging,
controversial.
Right. So at the end of Orktown 2, right, and Josh, who was running Orktown at the time, he's a very good painter. He won like the best painted award at he's won several of those, right? But he mm-hmm. won best painted at like Unplugged GT 2017, I want to say. And that was a huge room. That was a very big room. And with armies that up until that point were, I had never seen armies like that before. They were so gorgeous, right? Made a huge impression, Unplugged GT. Yeah. So okay, he's going to be the paint judge, right? Like, fine, right? And he's very strict. He's very hard, you know, which is fine. Because I was telling him the whole time, like, Josh, you just take whatever they scored at Unplugged GT and you add 1 point. Right. And they'll be happy. Like, just do that. They'll be so happy.
Yeah, that's
right?
Funny.
And anyways, so no, I'm not going to do that. So I'm in the, so after Orktown GT, it's a great success. Everybody's had fun. And all the Canadians are staying at my house for one last night before they make this huge trip back, you know, the next morning. And they look at their paint scores, right? And everybody's face drops, and there's like this just collective outrage happening in front of me. I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, you know, this one paint score ruined this weekend that, you know, we just crushed, you know, we crushed it, right? So I guess that's a reality of a paint score everywhere, but I work too hard at making you know, too much effort is put into Orktown GT from our crew to have it ruined over like sour grapes over a paint score, you know? So anyway, so it's all done by popular vote. And, you know, you write in your favorite armies and that's that. And I'm the source of the source, not the source. So that's my hot take on paint judging at Orktown GT. But I think usually, for the most part, like, you know, the people getting the top paint at Orktown do have like the coolest army at that year, and I think in the player pack I even call it, you know, the coolest army award, because sometimes an army is technically painted incredibly well, but maybe it's all, you know, just stock models or no conversions or something like that. Or the theme is just like, you know, here's my, here are my beautifully painted orc boys from 1996. I have 1,000 of them. Isn't that, you know, interesting? Maybe not, you know, but anyway, so it's coolest army award. So last year, Ryan Smith from Texas won. And I don't know how he flew from Texas with this Riftforge Orc army.
So big.
And it was like, so I think he had one or two pairs of socks and his army, right? Because he had to carry it on. and that's it, you know, because it all fit in his carry-on luggage. It was all like incorporated into a display.
It explains why the whole weekend he was wearing lifeguard tank tops and swimming trunks.
Right,
so
that's it.
That's what you could purchase at the local tourist shop.
Yeah, right. Just a trucker hat and flip flops. That's it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he had a good time. Anyways, but yeah, that army deservedly so very cool, you know, and so he got the coolest army award. But yeah, so that all happens over cocktails, and people are drinking, and some people are drunk, you know, and they're just voting, you know, what they think is the coolest army there. And so I was asked, like, are display boards part of your scoring? No, but, you know, like, does it make your army cooler? You might consider it. So anyways. But yeah,
I do have to say that it always seems to me when I take a look at like the paint scores afterwards, I'm like, seems right. So I think there is something to be said for the wisdom of the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, like, yep, multiple people know what's up.
Yeah.
But
yeah. And you know, there are people there that, I mean, I don't know, you give them some agency, and I'll try to, you know, urge them, you know, take it seriously, please, you know, please go around and look. And then really, I'm just kind of going around making sure that people are actually putting their armies out for display. Cause you've got people that are maybe, you know, I don't know, don't put themselves out there when, like, in reality, they really have a beautiful army, and, like, you know, hey man, like, your army's cool. Like, make sure it's out at the end of the table, and, you know, get yourself under one of the can lights in the ceiling, you know, like, you know, do it right. Again, you gotta have it out on display so everybody can kind of mill around with their green Orktown alcoholic beverage, and, you know, look about it, and you should schmooze at that point too, and talk up your army to the folks that come by. So
that's the key.
It's kind of fun.
Sure is. The other thing I like too is that you encourage people, not just trophies, but you win medals. Right, mm-hmm. Because, you know, at Orktown you get awarded for your, right, for how well you did. And so if you win a medal at a previous Orktown, you bring it with you to all future Orktowns, and you pin it to your jacket, so everyone knows, right, Marshal Khrushchev style, right? And you, yeah. Since you're all there with your ribbons and your goblin faces all on your chest, and you're hobnobbing, right, while you're talking.
Rob Spohr last year actually almost killed me when he came in, and he's you know, he's retired army, and he comes in with his uniform, and he's got these, and Rob, who I think he's come to like every Orktown except maybe one or all of them. I think he's come to all of them.
Yeah.
Anyways, and he's won like I think he's got
Orkling tried like four times, right?
Yeah, like four times he's gotten last place.
The so bleep.
He's got these like crappy medals, and then this one, I think one year he got like a countercharger award or something, which is insane. You know, it was like a big moment for everybody. They were so happy for him. And he comes in and he's got, you know, his army dress uniform, his class A, and, you know, these crazy Orktown medals on, including like this big chain, you know, sort of Flava Flav style Orktown medal that he got one year. So it's that was awesome. But yeah, over cocktails, right, during cocktail hour, when you're judging, especially, right, wear your Orktown medals.
It really is just the height of ridiculousness at that point.
It's
which
totally
I totally appreciate.
It's totally ridiculous. Yeah.
Right.
Well, and the medals, oh my God, the medals take so much time, by the way. Like, I'm sorry, like, that's anyways. And for what they are, you wouldn't think so, but like, I don't know. There's like over 30 separate steps that go into making a medal. Right. But, you know, because we had this debate, like, our trophies are so ridiculous. And sometimes maybe not, you know, maybe it's not something that you're going to want to display in your house. You know, cause some are very creepy, right? Some are.
Yes.
Some
yes, are, they are.
The goblin are, baby in a cage. Goblin baby in a cage.
Some are disturbing. Right. So really the medal is there to, like, you know,
the public facing award.
Yeah. Yeah, like you can bring that. Well, you know, your wife's like, throw that out, but you know, you can keep this, right? So or whatever, you know. So if you don't want to have like a green, you know, baby with sharp teeth stuck in a bird cage, you know, you at least have like the gold skull face or the gold silver con or something you can pin to your chest and remember that way. So
quality.
Yep.
Are there any spaces left for this year? Openings?
I think so. Yeah, we've actually got so it's always kind of a crapshoot. I mean, and it's my own doing, right? But you know, Orktown, you pay cash at the door, right? I don't want a PayPal statement, you know, every year for Orktown. Once Orktown is over, it's over, right? Like I don't want to
deal with it. There's no record that it ever happened.
Right. Exactly, Corey. So like, you know, every year, the week after Memorial Day, Orktown never happened. You know what I'm saying? So really, it's just like you RSVP. Basically, we have like a kitty from last year left over that we can reserve the space again. You know, cash, because everybody pays cash at the door. And so there's always some dropouts like last minute is, you know, shit happens, you know, like people have, you know, family members get ill or, you know, they got to go, you know, they're in the emergency room, right? Like stuff happens. So really our cap is 40. And right now we're right around like 32 already signed up. And some people may like, you know, as the weeks go by, like, oh crap, I forgot I'm going to be in Florida or whatever. It happens. So our tournament is generally around 32 to 34 players, the maximum we can fit at the curling club and not be, you know, elbow to asshole is 40.
Right. It blows my mind that it's only 32. Cause I think 10 of them are the Shambling Horde.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah, right. And then right. I mean, you've got the people that just come to like witness, you know,
right.
So I think it feels bigger, but really, you know, it's not a big tournament, but it's like kind of the biggest, littlest tournament in the world. I like to think.
Right. I mean, last year you had people fly in from. I mean, you had mentioned Ryan Smith, right, and Mark Cox. They flew in right. from
Ryan Smith,
Texas
Mark
and...
Cox. Gibney and Devlin Smith from Tennessee.
Yeah.
So I don't want to name names, but I you know, we've got two Brits flying in and they're staying in, hopefully they're staying at your place when they come.
Yeah. We took care of them.
Thank you. That's awesome. Yeah. And you guys were great last year. So I did not expect anybody to really ever fly into Orktown, I guess. But you know, the legend has grown, right? So
words out.
And like Mark Cox and Ryan Smith are obviously like, you know, awesome dudes, right? And I've been to Masters in Texas and I've seen them at Nebraska or whatever. So I think they heard like, come to Orktown. And actually Corey Wallitzer, to his credit, is like always like, oh dude, you gotta come to Orktown, right? When we're in like Omaha, right? And you just don't think
right.
you just don't think that's ever gonna actually happen. And they did, right? They came.
Right.
And they came and like they didn't have cars, like they didn't rent a car. They were staying in like the middle of town or whatever. And you guys like saved the day, like, you know, Mike, you and Corey, just to kind of like, I was so out of my mind. Because they arrive Friday, right? And Friday
right.
is a bad day, right, for me. I say, like, once it happens, I'm not worried, right? Friday is about the worst time, like, ever, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they
dead of winter, I lose my mind until Saturday at, at like, 10:10.
Yeah.
Everybody start, and I sit
as
down.
As a TO, right, that's always it. Everything,
right?
Once the event starts... cool beans, man, but
yeah,
everything leading up to them is a crisis.
Yeah. So I mean, I would say the one thing about Orktown is like it's a separate venue from where you stay, right? Like Crossroads, beautiful, right? Like the event hall is huge. It's right down the hallway. I can get, you know, as crazy or I can go to bed, right? I can get blackout drunk or I can go to bed. Or I can play yes. four games until like, you know, until 7:30 in the morning. Doesn't matter, right? It's just down the hall. But at Orktown, like, you know, you are either staying at a rental or one of these hotels. And like the hotel they stayed at was kind of like, you know, right in the middle of town. So it's a little too far to walk, a little too. Anyway, so if you I guess I'm talking to anybody that might be flying in, you know, talk to me a little bit about where you're going to stay, because I'll urge you to go to the hotel that's like, you know, right at the bottom of the hill from the Cape Cod Curling Club, if you're not renting a car. But you shout out to Mike Rossi, Corey Walzer. They like totally saved my butt, because all these Texans that I'm so worried are not going to have a good time, right, come and they don't have a car, they have no transportation, and they were like all off the plane and like grumpy. And I was like, you guys gotta show them around, and you did, so thank you.
Well, to be fair, what I mean, it's, we were like, yeah, we'll help them out, and I think it took Mark and Ryan 32 seconds to find the closest brewery, and they yeah. just kind of walked there, and they're like, we're here. Okay, well, we'll join you, right?
Yeah, good yeah
yeah.
But yeah, no, like Friday, I can't be like tour guide so much.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Saturday night after cocktails, like anybody that wants to is welcome to come to my house. I've got like, you know, basically like a small arcade in my basement.
It's amazing.
And it's not, it's okay. But, you know, I try to have all the games going.
Again, he's downplaying it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
But and the house is empty. The dog's not home. Nobody's gonna get a rabid animal, you know, bite them or anything like that. So I have it all, you know. And it's actually very fun Saturday, because that night, because my house, actually like the basement area, my basement is like a garage. I've got like an underslung garage, and that's where all the Orktown trophies are made and all this nonsense gets planned out and worked on. And and Doug and Joe and me, every weekend from now until Orktown, we're down in that garage, right, working on Orktown stuff. And so my house becomes so pregnant with Orktown for that Saturday and that Sunday, it feels like it could echo, right? Because it's all at the Cape Cod Curling Club. It's out of my house, right? And then it's like, all right, time for the fucking house party, you know? So everybody's here, the video games are rolling, you know, all the orc stuff and the glue and the popsicle sticks and the crazy face mask and the nightmare fuel that's going on for months in my basement is gone for that night. And we have the house party done.
So great.
Yeah.
So great. So
I wonder what the hell, like every 2 weeks I have like, I'm very lucky. I have like a cleaning crew that comes, these cleaning ladies, and I love them. Right. Like I rely on these cleaning ladies, cause otherwise I'd be out of my mind. Right. But, I wonder what they think, because, you know, they're very Catholic. And in my
that basement, would be an interesting podcast guest for Unplugged Radio.
I know. Yeah, let's ask K2's cleaning ladies what they think about Orktown, because I'm sure they have no fucking idea what the hell is going on in the basement. Because it's
right.
It's you know, if you don't know anything about it, you think this is really crazy. So, but yeah, so that Saturday, it's all out of my house. You know, it's clean as a whistle, and then we just party. So it's pretty fun.
Pretty awesome, right? And then you're on the Cape, right? Yeah. And as you said, like everything is open. There's, I think, some of the best ice cream I've ever had 10 minutes away. There's a couple awesome Irish pubs on Cape. There's 14 breakfast places that are amazingly good. Like, yeah, it's one of my favorite places. And then on top of that, I get to play Kings of War there, you know?
Yeah. It's a ton of fun. The ice cream is very good.
Very good as underselling again. I think I go there every day.
It's so funny. I'll share this story really quick because it's a character you guys know and other people won't know, but I won't name names, but got this friend we'll call Bill, right? And Bill is a mysterious character, and he in his past like worked in an ice cream like that place that made like an ice cream maker, you know, or something like that.
Sure.
I don't know. And he knows like a lot about ice cream and like, you know, fat content and like the milk fat and whatever. And anyway, so we've got this ice cream shop down the street from my house, which is not very good for me, but you know, great for you guys. Come visit, you know, definitely go to Somerset Creamery. And and apparently the milk fat content of that ice cream is Bill approved, we'll say. It's like real deal shit.
Sure, sure. It's the best. It's the best.
I stopped there on my way in. I stopped there Friday. I stopped there Saturday. I stopped there Sunday. And then on Monday on the way out.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's like five times over the weekend I hit that place.
Well, you know, it's crazy. I'm like, I go to other kind of, you know, I should say, like, I'm born and raised here, right? Like, I'm born in Falmouth, and I didn't leave, and I work here now or whatever. So when I go to another kind of vacation destination place, like, I was down in North Carolina one time, and the Outer Banks, which feels very Cape Cod, right? It's just north, sure. You know, it's just, you know, down south Cape Cod. And I went to their ice cream shops that they had, and it's like proudly serving Hershey's ice cream, and I was just like, what the actual fuck?
Wait, you don't want a scoop of Perry's? What are you doing?
No,
right?
Like,
I mean, if I could buy it at the grocery store, why am I buying it from you?
I could not even believe it. I was like, how does anybody abide this stuff? Like, you don't have your own homemade ice cream? Like, I don't know. Anyways. But so we have very good ice cream here.
yes.
Yep. ice cream snobbery is in full effect right now.
Yeah,
and I'm all here for it.
Yeah.
Right? Totally true. Is there anything else that anyone else needs to know about Orktown?
You should try to, I guess, you should try to come if you can, you know, and if I put you on like a wait list or whatever, like just, I don't know, try to be flexible. It is hard, you know, because, you do have to make arrangements or whatever, obviously motel rooms, whatever. And it's sort of an evolving list, but, you know, wkofcapecod@gmail.com. That's the email where, you know, you say, kind of get on the list. You know, I really want to come. May 31st, June 1st, Northeast Warkings on Facebook, AKA Nuke, NEWK. We're very excited to put on Orktown 6 this year. Me, Doug, and Joe are, we're like, I don't know. We can hardly contain ourselves when we meet up every weekend. Like we're just like, you know, it's very soon. It's like full steam go time. And it's like our favorite time of the year. It's stressful, but the party, the payoff, is like so worth it. So, we're ready to go. So I'm hoping you guys all come. I know you're signed up. I hope that holds, and I'm happy to have everybody that came last year come back if they can. Those emails have been sent out, so I'll have like a better sense of like who's coming back, who's, you know, who's not in. I might put it out to the public. I might not. This might be where you heard about it, folks. So you know, it's you know, I used to go on like this kind of PR circuit, you know, for Orktown, and now I kind of don't. Like I like our crew. So Like
yeah. If you know, you it's the if you know, you know event.
If you know, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And but you know, we're always looking for some more. But you know, if you're like an uber competitive, you know, asshole, no. Okay. No. It's not the tournament for you. But if you like nonsense, you like a lot of food, you like a lot of booze, you like schmoozing and the atmosphere, and you know, you can hang, like, absolutely, you gotta come. And you know, send me an email. So
awesome. And then
I think it's Corey $80 cash.
It's 80 bucks cash. Bring cash. Yeah, the bar takes cash.
Bring cash.
We went up $5. Seriously. Bucks. We went up $5 because everything's a little bit more expensive this year.
Everybody should know. I mean, like, you feed us the whole time. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty great. That's pretty great.
Yeah. You smoke salmon, bagels, and really good bagels and cookies, coffee. Coffee is served all day at all times, right?
Right.
And then, you know, water, right? It's free. Yeah. The bar.
Catered lunch.
And then for lunch, we're going to have like lobster bisque, clam chowder, sandwiches, chips, whatever. And then we'll have we always have pies, snacks, cakes. We might do a dinner this year. We might get somebody to come. We're always working on that. It's kind of the final frontier for us, you know, to just have it like, you know, all day and night. But, it's always tricky because, you know, food trucks are mysterious, folks. So, you know, might want to bring a little extra money for dinner, but dinner is the only thing that you kind of have to worry about. I think, the drinks at the bar are very cheap, cause it's like private club prices. So like
VFW beer, prices. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Beer is like $3-ish dollars. Soda's $1. The beer selection is all like, you know, somebody at the curling club takes great care that the beer doesn't suck, you know, behind the bar. So the beer is good.
It's legit.
Yeah. You can have everything from like Cutty Sark to like Glenlivet, you know, 20-year stuff also, if you want to drink fine liquor. So there's a lot of different options. We have to have, we come up with some special cocktails every year that are Orktown themed. So we'll be running those again. We did have some.
Which you can drink out of your themed Orktown GT mug that you get every year, which I am staring at right now as I paint.
I love seeing like on streams or, you know, different video calls, just like an Orktown GT mug in the background. So like I said, coffee is important, I think.
Man of taste.
So when you come, there's a, and thanks to Joe Taylor, there is a new Orktown GT mug for you waiting. So you've already won something as soon as you pay the $80. So you get an Orktown GT mug and free coffee. But we've got breakfast, lunch, snacks, booze, and we'll do breakfast and lunch on Sunday too. So it's full value for your entertainment dollar.
It's legit. It's legit. That's what it's about. It. Right. It's after the first year, we were driving back, me and you know, Corey and Robbie and everybody. And I said, okay, we're doing this every year. They're doing it right. And we were like, oh yeah, no, we're not missing a single one of these. Right. It's just, it is. Yeah. And I haven't, it's awesome. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's legit. Greg and Corey, you guys got anything else to add?
Yeah, I want to give a quick plug here because, as we've been recording, I've been playing around with list ideas for Orktown GT.
Ooh, that's so right.
And I want to make note of a few things. First, Orktown prides itself on being the largest event in terms of point size, so 2,600 this year. And also has what I do believe to be the greatest tournament-specific rule of any tournament I've ever attended, which is that everyone, no matter who you are and which army you are bringing, you are allowed to take orcs as allies because it's Orktown. And a couple
and
years
no,
ago...
No other allies, by the way.
No other allies, yeah. Orcs
you can take
only.
Allies as long as they are orcs. Yeah.
Yes. So that also yeah, anyway, I wanted to let people know that there is a little trick you can do to make the Mantic Companion allow you to have orcs as allies, even if your main force is of the good alignment, which is this. When you go to create a new list, right, select your main faction as an evil one. So let's say Abyssal Dwarfs, because that's the first one that pops up. Then set your allied faction to orcs. Then go back and adjust your main faction, and it won't kick the orcs out. So now I can trick anything as the main faction, like, you know, dwarfs. What a great pairing. Or forces of nature, because those are, well, I guess they're neutral. But like anything, and it will work. And I do highly encourage you to get in the spirit and take orc allies, because they're awesome.
Or the worst. That's awesome. I didn't actually know that. I'll say too, like 2,600 points. We want like epic games, right? The tables aren't any bigger, right? They're 4x6 tables. We want action. All right. So make a list that brings it. You know, I want your list to be killy, but you know, again, just have a good time. And be laid back, but 2,600 points on that table usually makes for kind of action. So I like it.
I also like the orcs as allies means that someone's punching something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's not a lot of yeah. You know.
And I think we're going up on the, and we're gonna have, I should mention too, we're gonna run command dice this year, as per whatever the latest errata, FAQ, whatever you call it, is, you know, whatever it is, we'll do it. Which I might regret that if they change it like the day of or whatever, but I'm not that worried about it.
Right.
And because I don't care. Anyways. I think the command dice are cool because they give Oryx Pathfinder, which is unbelievable. It's so good. If you're thinking that regular old Oryx stink, well, we got Pathfinder on command dice now, so it's all better. You should definitely play Oryx.
There you go.
It's all better. And we're going up on time on the clocks. We're going to have an additional minute. So we're going to have 70 minutes aside. So you don't have a lot of time on your clock. And then I don't care if you clock out, you know, your game is done. I'll let you pivot in place quickly, I think is what we do. But again, I don't want you to have a lot of time. I want you to have this big army. I want you to fight. And that makes good players make bad moves. And that makes bad players that, you know, sometimes they can just, you know, get lucky. So lots of action, big armies, play quick, don't overthink it.
I think you just summed up like the whole tactical vibe of the place.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Get in, yep. Smash some face, call it a day.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Cause you probably want to win that, top attrition trophy. Like it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Cool. Any other thoughts before we wrap up, buddies?
I'm excited.
Awesome.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So
we are very excited to have you all and to put on Orktown 6, Orktown VI for violence.
Violence.
Yeah.
All right. K2, thanks a bunch for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. And
thanks for having
Greg
me.
And Corey, thank you guys too. For jumping in and being flexible. So really appreciate you guys. Yeah. So with that, I'm going to thank everybody else for listening and see you on the next one.
See ya.
Adios.
Peace.
Stop your.
Thanks for joining us. We hope you like what you heard.
If you have any thoughts about the episode, please find us on Facebook and leave us some feedback.
And if the spirit moves you, leave us a review on iTunes and work that algorithm.
Special thanks to Robbie P. and the Countercharge Podcast Network for hosting us. And to all you listeners, y'all are awesome.